Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. A lion roars inside a circle of film. Swirling hands covered in oil. Cupped female hands lower to reveal the silhouette of a fallen woman.
I belong to an exclusive club known to the world as Bond Girls. My name is Miriam Darbo. In 1987, I played opposite Timothy Dalton's Bond in The Living Daylights. It was a break of a lifetime.
Blonde Miriam stares out to sea.
10 years ago, we made a documentary exploring what it means to be a Bond girl.
Shots of Miriam in a one-to-one with several ladies.
And this year, we decided to revisit the documentary and meet the new generation of Bond girls.
You know, when I got it, everyone was like, oh my gosh, it's Bond.
Ursula Andress led the way, and 50 years of timeless women followed, all united by one simple truth. Bond girls are forever.
A silhouette of a dancing woman inside a shower of flames. Bond girls are forever. A fiery woman points a gun. Bond girls are forever expands. The background turns black and the words explode into flames. Miriam, dressed in a long green coat and beige scarf, strolls through Pinewood.
Pinewood Studios was where it all began for me. It was my first big part in a multi-million dollar picture, and I was a little overwhelmed. Pinewood is the home of the Bond movies. The biggest soundstage on the lot is named after 007. I came here to talk to the stunning Oscar-winning actress, Halle Berry, while she was filming the 20th Bond movie, Die Another Day. I wanted to know how she felt about entering the world of James Bond.
It's one of those jobs that I just got offered, and in my career, that doesn't happen a lot. So they called up and said, hey, how would you like to be a Bond girl? And I was just, you know, I was thrilled. I grew up watching various Bond movies, and I never thought in my life that that's a part that I would play.
Isn't it amazing that even for us girls, us or actresses, you know, Bond women are a fantasy, not only for men?
Yeah, so much for women, and I think that's what makes the Bond movies real for me, because I can go on the journey with the women. I think people love, you know, sort of the fantasy. It's a two-hour journey out of our real lives and into this fantasy world and all of the gadgets and the cars and the women. The women are a big part of it, not only for men, but also for women.
So what was the first Bond movie you saw?
Probably Dr. No, because it happened to be one of my mother's favorites.
And?
I just remember that bikini coming out of the water.
Ursula did establish a sort of the prototype.
Total, you know, epitome of femininity.
She is larger than life and a fantasy.
As a little girl, you think about, wow, if I could grow up to be like that.
You know, she walked into a restaurant totally dressed with a nun suit. She still had this incredible presence, and she still does.
So what is the concept of a Bond girl?
Well, a Bond girl, when you hear that expression, you automatically think of a beautiful girl, a very sexy-looking girl.
Exotic.
Exotic.
Spending time with Ursula Andress is like spending time with a force of nature. Ursula's a legend, the quintessential Bond girl.
You are the most remembered of all the Bond roles. Actresses we've interviewed, Ursula, Ursula, Honey Rider. Why is that?
I was a new kind of woman. You know, I represented a new type of woman, because before you had the Monroe, you know, the voluptuous roundness, and then I come as an athletic woman, sportive, strong, determined. Probably that made an impression and gave a success to my character.
What are you doing here? Looking for shells?
No, I'm just looking.
And the day I had to meet Sean, I remember the only thing, he was sitting alone in this dining room all alone. He was dressed all in black. And I was walking there and he was looking with his eyes like that. He was looking around and I looked at that man and he looked very, very strict and very, I was a little scared. So I said, hi, hi. And we began this way. The next day we had to work. And I was a little timid and a little, but at least I was happy. I had a lot of action. So this was easy for me to do action. I'm gonna run around and that's okay. But then he was adorable to me. It was a very, very nice shot to me. And he's still adorable to me today.
All of us Bond women have tried to live up to Ursula. There was something so powerful about her presence on the screen. It was a hard act to follow, but soon more women came along to redefine the image of the Bond girls. There was the beautiful Daniela Bianchi in From Russia With Love, and the startling image of Shirley Eaton, painted all in gold for her brief appearance on the screen in Goldfinger. But there was another actress in Goldfinger, who even today still tops the list as the most popular Bond woman of them all.
My name is Pussy Galore.
I must be dreaming. Pussy.
I haven't even met it. It was a very exciting part of life.
She's the legendary Honor Blackman. And it was back in England at Stoke Poacher's Golf Club, where Goldfinger was filmed, that I asked her about playing the Bond girl with the most memorable name.
Well, Pussy Galore. Yes, it is the most memorable name, I suppose. And I can't think of anything else that creates such a frisson when you mention it.
Please entertain Mr. Bond for me, Pussy.
It's so funny. All the fan letters I get, and there's still so many, because every time it's shown, another generation seems to take to it, and nearly all of them say, and will you put Love from Pussy or whatever on? And so endless pussies are going about, yeah.
You're quite a girl, Pussy.
I'm strictly the outdoor type.
I'd like to think you're not in all of this caper.
Skip it. I'm not interested. But of course, you know, in the book, Pussy Galore starts out as a lesbian.
So and how did you deal with that?
Well, it made me laugh. And then, of course, Bond changes her mind, which is a kind of odd way to be a lesbian anyway. But I can't remember. I don't know if she was abused or something, and that's why she thought she was a lesbian. But anyway, she succumbed, and who wouldn't, to Sean Connery.
Yeah. Now, let's both play.
When you did this part, Pussy Galore, there were no parts that had ever been written like that. It was the most avant-garde, modern part for its time.
Do you want to play it easy or the hard way? She was a wonderful character to play, and my mother used to get so upset. Why can't you play nice parts, she'd say. But it's much more fun to play a bitch or a toughy or something other than a goody-two-shoes.
It's hard to imagine my lovely friend Luciana Paluzzi as a villain. But in fact, she was the first Bond villainess, playing the irredeemably bad, the wonderfully sexy Fiona Volpe in Thunderball. It was a role Luciana never expected to play.
So I got a call one day and they said, we want you to come and do a test. So I arrived in London and I tested for the leading lady, the good girl. And then finally they called me and they said, we have good news and we have bad news. And I always like to hear the bad news first. So I said, what are the bad news? And he said, you didn't get the role. Oh, I was like, oh, it's just my heart sank. And he said, but the good news is that you got the other role, the role of the villainess. And I rejoiced because actually I thought that that was more fun to play.
You would like Bond dead.
I can think of no better arrangement.
Paul! I shall kill him.
You were not supposed to play a real villain. You were supposed to play a Bond version of a villain.
How far do you go?
You better fasten your safety belt.
You could let go and be really nasty.
No! Ah!
Don't let her make so much noise. Use the chloroform.
Luciana's character did everything Bond could do. She could drive fast, she could shoot to kill, but she was at her most dangerous in the bedroom.
Really? Do you like wild things, Mr. Bond, James Bond?
Wild? You should be locked up in a cage.
I remember that we had that day, for some strange reasons, maybe because I was in bed with Sean, there must have been easy 50 photographers on the set as we were shooting that scene. And he would hear the click, so they would say, stop. So finally they decided that we were going to do the scene for them 3 times without the camera rolling. And then after that, they were thrown out of the set. Thrown out. They were asked to leave. They weren't thrown out.
Luciana was filled with stories about her experiences during the filming. But what surprised me was what happened to her after Thunderball's release.
To do a Bond picture, it's a blessing, but it's also a curse. Because when I went back to Italy, the directors, they were the Fellinis, the Antonionis, the ones that were really important, the Viscontis of the time. They didn't want to have anything to do with me. They loved me. I knew them all, and they were all very sweet and very nice. But when it came to do one of their pictures, no, because it was like a comic strip.
Well, you can't win them all.
But I worked for 27 years, so I can't complain.
Luciana, Honor, and Ursula embodied the sexy, free-willing spirit of the 60s. But by the end of the decade, Bond himself was beginning to change.
My name's Bond. James Bond.
When George Lazenby took over the role in On Her Majesty's Secret Service, he falls in love and marries Diana Rigg, breaking the cardinal rule of Bond and sentencing her to a speedy death. And when Sean Connery returned in the beginning of the 70s, there was no doubt that a new kind of Bond woman was on her way.
Who's she, your mother? Blow up your pants.
As a teenager growing up in Europe, I knew all about 007 and his Bond girls. He was as much a part of pop culture as the Beatles. But the 70s were a new time. Women were beginning to assert themselves, and the first Bond girl of the decade had no problem with who she was and what she represented.
How many Bond girls do you think are cowgirls?
Only one.
Oh, there must be more than one.
One of the women who has no regrets about playing a Bond girl is Jill St. John, who played Tiffany Case in Diamonds Are Forever.
Do you feel more a cowgirl or more a Bond girl?
Oh, a little bit of both. But no one wants to give up the mantle of being a Bond girl, and if they say they do, they're lying.
Weren't you a blonde when I came in?
Could be.
I tend to notice little things like that, whether a girl is a blonde or a brunette.
And which do you prefer?
Oh, providing the collars and cuffs match.
You have this wonderful sense of humor about it. You didn't feel that it was a curse, like some actresses might have felt that it was a curse doing a Bond movie.
Then they shouldn't have accepted the role. I really welcomed the chance. I wanted to look glamorous. I was thrilled when they offered me the role.
I have a feeling this is the beginning of a wonderful relationship.
I think it was very much a 70s woman. I think we were all starting to take charge of our own lives by then. And I was happy to portray that.
Keep leaning on that tutor, Charlie, and you're gonna get a shot in the mouth.
Bond women over the 4 decades have been criticized by feminist movements, especially in the 70s. What do you feel about it?
I think they're bad sports.
There is something I'd like you to get off your chest.
Mr. Ozzato believes in a healthy chest.
Really?
Hi, I'm Plenty.
But of course you are.
Plenty O'Toole.
I'm Babby.
And I'm Thumper.
Bond women are larger than life. They're not meant to represent the real woman. They're meant to represent almost a dreamlike quality. It's a fantasy quality. How can anybody take that seriously and complain about it?
In Japan, men always come first. Women come second.
I might just retire to here.
This meant as entertainment. It's not meant as a social statement or a chronicle of how far women have come in life.
In 1973, a new Bond appeared in Live and Let Die.
My name's Bond. James Bond.
Watching the Roger Moore films, what struck me was how many of the Bond women needed to be rescued, sometimes from the arch-villain and sometimes from Bond himself, as when he tricks Jane Seymour's virginal solitaire into sleeping with him.
You could think of James Bond as being a bit of a villain because he cheated her at her own game. He basically cheats with the cards and tells her that it's her destiny to be with him, putting her life in danger and, of course, making her lose her mystical powers.
The deck was slightly stacked in my favor.
I always thought that was a pretty rotten thing of James Bond to do. That was not nice of an Englishman to do, no. The whole deck full of lovers, not right.
Come on, Cheryl, darling. Has to be a first time for everyone.
How did other women from the Roger Moore era feel about their roles?
See, I don't look at my old films. I don't look at Octopussy or The Man with the Golden Gun. It's probably been years since I saw them last.
Maude Adams has a unique place in the legend of Bond. She played a Bond girl twice. First in The Man with the Golden Gun, and then again 8 years later in Octopussy. I wondered how it would feel to watch herself on the screen as she was all those years ago.
I look so young. I hardly recognize myself. It doesn't look like me.
Now, The Man with the Golden Gun, you were the girlfriend of the villain, Christopher Lee. And you were being tortured by him. I mean, you were like a victim in that character. How was it for you as a woman to play that part?
Well, at the time, the Bond films, they were really quite different from today. I mean, the women were generally portrayed as damsels in distress, and that's exactly what Andrea was. I mean, as an actress, it's not really the most wonderful part to play, but I was also fairly new to the profession, and I knew my role. I mean, I knew this was a very decorative part.
Good afternoon.
See, today they require so much more nudity on the screen, and I really like the...
A water pistol.
Pass me that rope.
More of a suggestion. And actually, you know, I was covered everywhere. It mattered. Look. I mean, you couldn't do that today.
Ah, oh, you're hurting my arm.
I'll break it unless you tell me where those bullets go.
No, I can't.
She just seems so out of control.
One of the most surprising discoveries we made that day was how physically aggressive Bond was.
I mean, of course, when you think about it, she's not really inviting him to have sex.
No!
That would not be very correct today.
We are two of a kind.
Maybe that was the way the world was at that time. Maybe women were supposed to put up a little bit of a fight before they gave in. That was part of the sexual game.
It was a kind of a different time for women because women were struggling to be equal. And all of a sudden, it wasn't okay to be sexual or attractive as a woman. Like I made the Bond movie. Women were burning their bras at that point.
Good afternoon.
Can I help you?
Yes, my name is Bond. James Bond. I'm looking for Dr. Goodhead.
You just found her.
When Lois Charles was first approached to play the leading lady in Moonraker, she had some misgivings about taking the role.
I mean, first of all, I mean, the name, Dr. Holly Goodhead. But how am I going to explain that one to my parents?
Dr. Goodhead.
I can only hope your presence here is a coincidence, Mr. Bond. I dislike being spied on.
I was a child of my generation, and I was concerned about this. Women were saying we weren't supposed to be sexy, or it wasn't a good thing to be thought sexy. So I was, you know, Bond was certainly, that was what they were selling.
Détente.
Agreed.
Trust.
Out of the question.
So when I got there and read the script and realized that this character was going to be strong, and it was going to be the first time that a woman could do what Bond could do. She could fly the plane, she was a scientist, and I thought this could be really fun. But I thought, after all, I'll be in a spacesuit most of the time, so, you know, how sexy could that be?
God, what's Bond doing?
I think he's attempting re-entry, sir.
We're all children of our generations. And just as Lois felt connected to the women of the 70s, I felt the same about the 80s. What I didn't know was that James Bond would come into my life and bring me into the exclusive world of the Bond girls. I share a common bond, Timothy Dalton. She starred opposite Tim in License to Kill in 1989.
I saw you at Heller's office. You're working with them.
No!
We may have shared the same leading man, but our characters couldn't have been more different.
So you were number 16, I was number 15. My character, of course, had no physical ability. She was a musician, so she was a disaster.
Mine kicked ass. She was firing guns and, you know.
Get it started.
Did you shoot guns?
I shot a gun once, and I shot it. I can't shoot. My character can't shoot. They do it all wrong.
Fire, Bond, fire! Shoot her. What are you waiting for?
So from that moment, when Tim got to meet my character, it was just like, oh, she does everything wrong. You know, I'll deal with the real world. You just stay put.
Right. Did you guys ski together?
No, we were in this cello case.
Sorry. Did you actually have steering in it?
Yeah, I had steering, and I was the one steering it, and Timothy was much heavier, so it tended to want to go towards the right, where the camera crew was, right at the bottom, and just turned out to be a nightmare, because we had a couple of accidents, and I thought Tim at one point had broken his neck, and he was, like, so pissed off with me, you know, it's kind of the relationship we had anyway in the movie. He kind of treated me like my character, like a schoolgirl, like, I don't know anything.
You were fantastic. We're free.
Cara, we're inside a Russian airbase in the middle of Afghanistan.
I remember when we had to do this scene when we first kissed. 90.
70.
And Tim's telling me how I should actually be kissing him.
What?
I remember thinking that my character was very sort of aggressive, CIA, you know, undercover agent, and that if somebody was going to kiss me, I was going to, you know, kiss them back. And Tim going through this sort of long explanation about how if I really wanted to seduce him, that I should, in fact, just sort of brush his lips, you know, gently. So we did that, and that's what they printed, I guess.
Now, why don't you wait until you're asked?
Well, why don't you ask me?
Oh, sex with Bond, yeah. Did we or did we not sleep with Bond? And,
Well, I'll tell you who did sleep with Bond was my nemesis, Talisa Soto.
That's right, because you get pissed off the next
day. I get pissed off, and in fact, there's a scene when I'm meeting Q for the first time.
Good night, Q.
Sweet dreams, Mr. Bond.
I hope you don't snore, Q.
Did you sleep with him?
Nope. I didn't, but I was much more resilient because I fell in love with him because he'd taken me, rescued me from the east to the west. But I didn't sleep with him, and you never see any nakedness.
High star.
What does that mean?
It means beautiful in Afghan.
Some people think it's got to do with the 80s AIDS.
I don't know. I mean, if they really wanted to be that responsible about it, they could have had a sleep with Bond, and we could have asked them to use a condom, you know? I just don't know.
That would have been great.
It's funny, because up until that point, I guess every Bond girl had been naked at some point in bed, or it was implied that she was naked in bed, either waiting for Bond, or Bond had just left her, or...
Bond, what do you think you're doing?
Keeping the British hand up, sir.
Neither of us are portrayed in that way. So it was sort of like a half step into
The 90s.
Into the 90s.
After Carrie and I finished our movies, James Bond disappeared. The franchise was bogged down in legal problems. But a world without Bond was unthinkable. And after 6 years, 007 had his license to kill renewed. But this time, Bond girls were calling the shots. In 1995, a new Bond walked into the media spotlight. Pierce Brosnan in GoldenEye. A new era of Bond was about to begin, and joining Pierce was a very different cast of Bond girls.
What I love most about Bond women, and especially Bond women of today, is not only are they beautiful and sexy, but they're also have evolved into very intelligent, articulate, and very well-equipped adversaries for Bond. You know, they're no longer sort of the window dressing, and as women have empowered themselves, the movies have changed with them.
But don't stand there, get us out of here!
Yes.
It's become cool to be a Bond woman. It, certainly when I did the Bond woman, it wasn't cool. Michelle Yeoh could kick ass.
From the moment Michelle Yeoh arrived on the Bond set in Tomorrow Never Dies, it was clear that James Bond had finally met his match.
My character is definitely not the traditional Bond girl.
Thanks for washing my hair. I work alone.
She's the woman of the 90s, you know, who was aggressive, who was confident, who was able to do things which Bond can. In all my previous movies, I'm used to doing all my own stunt work. A lot of the action sequences where it's hand-to-hand combat, I'm able to do everything. I think I'm most excited about that particular scene is because it's my own little fight sequence. Most of the time, you're just concentrating on giving your best, and then hopefully everything around you is also working in that same direction.
The whole idea to me is that these are such incredible women that it's almost a role model for a future woman.
They've become better, bigger, badder villains.
You understand? Nobody can resist me.
I don't know how long I was on the screen, but not as much as any of the Bond girls today. The roles are better for women in general. I mean, not only in the Bond pictures.
I think it's wonderful to watch them intellectually go toe-to-toe, and as they've evolved, those are the kinds of women they've become, and they're sexy, at the same time they're smart, they are very combative, they can fight, they're assassins. You know, they're all different kinds of women.
This is the home of the British Secret Service in London, MI6. A place where the unexpected can happen at almost any moment. But perhaps the most surprising development inside James Bond's MI6 was a decision to give the role of M to a woman.
When suddenly I was asked to play M, the people who were most excited in my family, I was rather dumbstruck, but my husband and my daughter were very excited indeed. My husband thought it was great to have a Bond woman. Well, it was Bond girl once, but it's Bond woman now,
I know,
as you can
it's politically
see.
Incorrect to say Bond girl now, isn't it?
I know.
After 7 movies, it's hard to imagine anyone other than Judi Dench in the role of M. I've interviewed her twice, back in 2002, and again this year while she was finishing Skyfall. We watched together one of my favorite moments from GoldenEye, when she shows James Bond that his world is about to change.
You don't like me, Bond. You don't like my methods. You think I'm an accountant, a bean counter, more interested in my numbers than your instincts.
The thought had occurred to me.
Good. Because I think you're a sexist, misogynist dinosaur. a relic of the Cold War, whose boyish charms, though wasted on me, obviously appealed to that young woman I sent out to evaluate you.
Point taken.
Wonderful.
Gracious. It seems a long time ago.
I know.
I can't imagine how frightened I was during that.
You're brilliant in it.
It was just a few days, I think, after we started.
When you did it, did you get a sense that the balance of power was shifting between Bond and his women at that point?
Do you know, when we did it, I was never aware until after it opened of what a huge step it was that M should be a woman.
Use your relationship with Mrs. Carver if necessary.
I doubt if she'll remember me.
Remind her. Then pump her for information.
You'll just have to decide how much pumping is needed, James.
Judi Dench as M was paired up with Samantha Bond as her assistant, Miss Moneypenny, who added a new kind of sassiness to the role.
I think I'm lucky to have arrived at it in the 90s, which is when I started. I think that the sexuality within the role has been allowed to become more equal.
James, have you brought me a souvenir from your trip? Chocolates? An engagement ring?
I thought you might enjoy one of these.
I know exactly where to put that.
Oh, Moneypenny. The story of our relationship. Close, but no cigar.
When it was Lois Maxwell and it all had to be... I mean, it's all there, but it's all very restrained.
Lois Maxwell used to, as Miss Moneypenny, just have her tongue hanging out all the time, didn't she?
Moneypenny, you are better than a computer.
In all sorts of ways. But you never take advantage of them.
I like to think that my Moneypenny can meet Bond as an equal in that way.
Definitely.
Well, we like to give it a go.
What do you think of the fact that now it's not politically correct to say Bond girls and they say Bond women? Because more in fact, it's like, please.
They never called me the Bond woman. It sounds very...
Serious.
Serious. The Bond is a Bond girl. The Bond girl.
Being referred to as a Bond girl rather implies that you're a bimbo, and there were quite a lot of bimbos about who did fall flat on their backs the moment they saw Bond.
Just settle for this little old lady here?
Good choice. She's very sexyful.
How do you kill 5 hours in Rio?
How are you staying long in Peru?
When one is in Egypt, one should delve deeply into its treasures.
The current films don't have the Bond girls like that. You don't get floozies sitting around swimming pools anymore.
And they don't get spanked on the bottom like they did in Sean Connery's.
No, alas, they did get spanked on the bottom. I think that's good that age has passed.
So how does it feel to be a Bond girl? Or a Bond woman?
Oh, no, keep it a Bond girl. Goodness. I don't want to call it. I think a Bond woman. I think a Bond girl's sexier, isn't it?
Back at Pinewood, I met another in the long line of Bond girls, Rosamund Pike. She was learning to fence in preparation for her role in Die Another Day. And I asked her how she felt about stepping into the world of James Bond.
When someone says, what are you doing? And you say, well, I'm the new Bond girl. I mean, their faces just light up. It's an immensely powerful thing. And I'm just starting to sort of realise that and appreciate it.
What was the first Bond movie you saw?
The first movie I probably saw all the way through was Goldeneye. You know, it was one of Pierce's. So I've sort of grown up with Pierce as my Bond. So to suddenly be his girl is quite exciting. If not hugely exciting.
I only pay them lip service.
I'm starting to realise that once Bond's entered your life, it doesn't really leave it. Would you say that's true?
That is very true.
In 2006, Daniel Craig took over as James Bond. It was a new era for the Bond girls, and in terms of life expectancy, the most deadly.
I would ask you if you could remain emotionally detached. But I don't think that's your problem, is it, Bond?
No.
Is Bond detached from his women?
I think that's more an order than it is a comment.
But when Bond meets Vesper, Eva Green's character in Casino Royale, His emotional detachment quickly dissolves.
She is very quick-witted, and she always has, you know, the right words, and she's really, really intelligent.
You think of women as disposable pleasures rather than meaningful pursuits. So as charming as you are, Mr. Bond, I will be keeping my eye on our government's money and off your perfectly formed house.
You noticed.
Both quite hard with one another at the beginning, you know, they constantly spar with one another, quite tough, and then they get to know one another, they amuse one another, and they fall in love.
But falling in love with James Bond is never a good idea.
You know, he's got married at one point.
Yes, I know, but she gets killed straight off.
She gets killed straight off, yes. So poor old Vesper, you know, is going to... You know she's for the high jump at some point.
Yes.
Bond struggles in vain to save Vesper, and for only the second time, a Bond girl breaks his heart.
There's a wonderful line in Quantum of Solace where you say, we never know someone really, do we? Do you know James Bond after 7 movies?
Oh, who knows James Bond? I wish I could say yes, really, back to front. I pretend a lot. In every film I've done, I pretend that I know him very, very well. But he's an enigma. It's right that he should be, isn't it?
Bond, my name is Fields. I'm from the concert.
Thinking Man's Crumpet was how Gemma Arterton described her role in Quantum of Solace.
My orders are to turn you around and put you on the first plane back to London.
She is a field agent that has to come and sort of get Bond back on track, and she ends up sleeping with him and then gets killed. Damn it.
I can't find the stationery. You come and help me look.
Bond works his charms on her, and it's funny because Bond girls have developed over the years into these kind of independent women. My one wasn't. She tried very hard to be, but like the rest of us in the world, if Daniel Craig was there kissing up your back, you'd go, even if you were trying very hard not to.
Furious.
But her time on screen was short-lived, and her death, an oily black tribute to Shirley Eaton's golden corpse from almost 50 years ago.
Look how well your charm works, James. They'll do anything for you, won't they? How many is that now?
Would you like to come back?
Oh, yes. I was so sad that I died. And now that they're making the next one, I'm just... because it was so much fun.
On a Turkish mountain overlooking the Vardar Viaduct, English actress Naomi Harris is deep into a 9-month shooting schedule as the latest Bond girl, Eve, in Skyfall.
I've got a shot. It's not clean. Repeat, I do not have a clean shot.
Can you get into a better position?
Negative, there's no time.
Take the shot.
I can't.
Take the bloody shot!
An actress since she was 9, and with movie credits including Pirates of the Caribbean and 28 Days Later, even Naomi was daunted by the scale of her task.
I think the biggest challenge for me was getting over the kind of the awe that I had about actually having this role. And, you know, I remember that, you know, when I got it, everyone was like, oh, my gosh, it's Bond. Oh, my gosh, it's Bond. And then I was hoping that when I got to set, everyone would be kind of blasé about it. But still everyone was like, wow, we're in Bond, you know. And that just made me feel so nervous.
Naomi's not the first black actress to be a Bond girl. But following in the footsteps of Halle Berry, Grace Jones and Gloria Hendry meant a great deal to her.
When you're growing up as any form of ethnic minority, you're not represented generally in books, in movies, in popular culture as kind of as beautiful, you know? And so it takes a long time to work out, you know, that you're beautiful in your own way, in your own special way. And so for me, it was really meaningful to be cast as a Bond woman and to be representing beauty and black beauty in a film of today, and to know that that was going to be seen by my peers and my brothers and sisters who were younger than me, and that that was going to have a real impact on their lives. So I felt an extra sense of responsibility in that sense, and also an extra sense of pride about it.
So you've joined the club.
I guess I have. I really have, yes. It is, I still feel like, oh my gosh, is this really true? But I guess I have to have joined the club. Oh.
How much do you know about fear?
All there is.
Not like this. Not like him.
So how do you become a Bond girl? Berenice Marlowe had spent years tackling smaller roles on French TV when she heard the Bond team was in town to cast the role of femme fatale Séverine.
I was in France. I heard about this audition that was taking place also in Paris, and as I felt always connected since I was a kid to the James Bond movies, I really wanted to get a chance.
In France, her mixed French and Asian heritage had held her back. But director Sam Mendes saw exactly what he was looking for.
I sent my reels and stuff to the casting director, and then I did the three auditions with Sam, with Daniel. I felt like I was working all my life, many years, to be there on that project.
It has to do with death.
A subject in which you're well-versed.
You can play with a lot of colors with the woman, because they are all angels, beautiful angels, or dark creatures.
They're like sirens.
Sirens, yes, they are, yeah.
Be careful what you wish for.
Mr.
Bond. James Bond.
A quarter of a century later, I'm still recognized as a Bond girl. The global fame and exposure is incredible.
I was on the cover of every magazine in Italy and then in France, and then it was like a boom. You couldn't have paid for it. If you say, okay, I want to invest $1 million in publicity for myself, you couldn't have done it.
I mean, at the moment, you know, we can pretend we're just filming in England, but it's when the letters come, you know, come in from Australia and America, and you think, my God, you know, we're going global.
It is the international calling card. If you've been in a Bond movie, you go wherever, and they know you.
I know personally that I get more fan mail to this day for James Bond than I get for all my other films put together, and I bet it's the same for you, isn't it?
Absolutely.
When you do get all this fan mail, as we all do, there's part of me that say that I really don't want to perpetuate this myth, or you don't understand, this is not who I am. At the same token, as you don't want to take away people's fantasies.
I suppose if you got to this stage in life and nobody ever remembered anything you'd ever played, it would be a bit tragic, wouldn't it?
You know, it does feel like now that I'm a part of this amazing, you know, group of women, like being in a club. You know, and we were at the press conference here before the movie even started, and I met some of the previous Bond women, and right away you feel this camaraderie. You know, it's almost like being in a sorority. And there's only an elite few who have gotten to do it, you know, and I'm extremely proud and very honored, you know, to be a part of a very elite group of beautiful, sexy, talented, smart women.
You know, I'm a member of a club now that you're a member of too, and it's a very sort of unique place to be.
Yeah.
And I didn't really realize how many people celebrate it until I started getting all the fan mail and all the, you know, there's such a Bond culture. There's so many young boys all over the world.
I was in the St. Regis Hotel, and there were a group of people having a meal, and this young boy kept looking, and I saw his father say, just go. And he came up and he said, are you in the James Bond movie? And I said, yes, and he went, that's all he did. Then his father came up and led him away.
That's so sweet.
It was a great effect to have on a man.
Yes, that's wonderful.
You know.
Yeah.
Even though he was 10.
Nobody does it better. Makes me feel sad for the rest. Nobody does it half as good as you. Oh, baby, you're the best.
23 movies, countless spectacular women. For each of us who played a Bond girl, it was an unforgettable experience. And as the years go by, our images are still there, frozen in time, the way we were when 007 changed our lives. For the actresses, life goes on. But for Honey Rider, Pussy Galore, and all the others, the movies celebrate a simple truth. Bond girls are forever.
Makes me feel sad.